Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. I'm joined by my co-host Charlie Gibson, head of mining at Edison Research, and by our special guest Mark Oswald, a strategist at ADM Investor Services International. How are you today, Mark?
Yes, good. Looking at these rather range-bound markets, actually, for as much as people seem to be getting very excited by a lot of things, I think it's the nature of the beast when one looks at this, some of the moves in equities and in bonds that. Really, if you look at it in terms of where we've been this year, we're hardly breaking sweat, I think is the best way to describe. Nevertheless, the move that we've had in dollar-euro is interesting. It's an interesting exercise in over-interpreting an ECB press conference, which was, executed in double quick time. 45 minutes must be one of the shortest on record. And in which Mr. Draghi, as I thought he would, was determined to ensure that he didn't drop any hints in either direction. And yet the markets managed to still push.
It's definitely a dovish interpretation,
well,
isn't it? The markets?
Well, not initially. Initially, they took the, we didn't discuss an extension of QE as being very bullish for the euro. Then he said, obviously, at some stage, you know, obviously we wouldn't end QE abruptly. And he then went on to add that, as far as they're concerned, they're not actually seeing a meaningful uptrend appearing in underlying inflation, which to me is offers some signal on what might happen in December. Because as much as we get a fresh forecast for 2019, if that's short in any significant fashion of that just below 2% target, then they would have an excuse to do more. But the more important thing I think they're relying on here is, as much as we may have inflation data which gets boosted by energy base effects, which they're definitely going to look through, if you don't see a pickup in underlying CPI, then they'll have a good reason, because they're saying basically they still want underlying CPI as well as headline CPI to get back towards that target. So we've now got this situation where the market's put a dovish spin on that. I think the more significant part is actually we're in a situation where you look at things like the Atlanta Fed's wage growth tracker in the States, and that's back up to the highs at 3.6%. And people are starting to think, yeah, well, as much as the Fed trajectory is going to be low, the ECB doesn't seem to be in any great hurry to exit what it's doing at the moment. We'll probably extend it, even if it doesn't add to it. And the Fed looks like it's going to widen out these rate differentials. So the markets are back basically playing rate differential games. The key thing is that we've blown through the Brexit night low, 109.05. So you're looking at exploring the downside a bit. There's a nasty little wedge pattern of emerging on euro-yen. So we could be in for a period of a bit of volatility on the euro, which we haven't had. You know, the trading dollar-euro has been sort of like, wake me up when something happens. And you could have probably said that sort of any time after the dust had settled on the Brexit vote. So, but other markets, I think the interesting thing this week was that big dollar issue for Saudi Arabia. It sort of changes the whole nature of petrodollars. Now they're borrowers rather than lenders. People have talked about the huge book size and the huge demand, which was, for some people, surprising given their budget deficits. But I think that ignores the fact that we're in an environment where there's a lot more passive investing, index-based investing. So you get a $17.5 billion issue for anybody. Doesn't matter. And there are a lot of forced buyers because it's part of the index. It takes up an enormous. Secondly, I think people ignore the fact that we're still in a very much in a financially repressed world. And if you can get 120, 150 basis points, depending on which one you bought into, on dollar bonds, and you're looking favorably at the dollar, which is sort of the relevant part from beforehand, they will go for it. And because of the nature of the lack of liquidity in the secondary market, you actually get these huge book sizes. So people look at that book size and say, $67 billion for a $17.5 billion issue. That's enormous. But what one has to actually look at it as is it's not real demand. It's the nature of the market. This is a liquidity event. If you are trying to buy in, and we know there's been a lot of money flowing into emerging market bond funds, emerging market equity funds, since we got over the Q1 upset, shall we call it, then you basically look at this as a liquidity event and you overbid. So if you want a million, you'll probably put in for 2.5. So suddenly you get this massively inflated book size, which people thinks
shows demand, but actually it doesn't.
Actually, it tells you the nature of the market, that we've got very, very poor levels of market depth. We've got very poor levels of market sponsorship. And it does make one wonder then that if we get into an environment where you get a gentle rise in US interest rates and people start saying, well, you know, all I need to do is buy into the underlying ones because I'm getting 1-2%, you know, on the shorter dated ones, I'm getting 2-3% on the long dated. Why do I need to take on all this credit risk? So you then start to worry, what happens if we start to deflate somewhat the credit bubble? And I think that's one of the big risks as we go forward.
We don't know, and that's the whole, you know, we don't know what the side effect of the last 8 years is really going to be yet, do we?
Indeed, and I think the key thing with QE from anybody, whether it's the Fed, the BOJ, ECB, BOE, or anyone else, the key proof that it's actually been successful is that they get out of it. And at that moment, on that subject, I think we can all stick our hands up and say, I've got my severe doubts whether they can get out of it. So that is a... It also sort of brings me back to the ECB, because the ECB is walking this really tight rope on not giving an indication whether it's going to taper or whether it's going to do more because of what happened last year. I mean, markets just ran away with themselves and the ECB basically disappointed them, and suddenly the euro was up in the sky and the ECB is going, well, we didn't do anything. But the problem is now is they are going to make a significant signal in December. So you've there got the market waiting and saying, oh, okay, we won't anticipate anything. You've told us not to anticipate it. And pretty much anything other than just a simple six-month extension to the QE program is going to be a surprise, one way or the other. So suddenly the volatility which they're trying to lean all over at the moment gets reintroduced to the market because it will be a surprise. So they'll actually have quite a tough job between after the US election and the ECB meeting in December, and obviously we've got the Fed meeting roughly at the same time, in managing expectations.
It's going to be a happy Christmas.
Unfortunately, we've fallen off the tightrope of time now. Mark Oswald, strategist at ADM Investor Services, thanks for coming in today. We'll be back after the break.